The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. But do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other things and signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, and please be seated. Do you ever have questions when I read the text or when you read the text on your own? I mean, sometimes I have questions, and that's probably how I begin to formulate a sermon. Questions that look at the text, because we sometimes read the same text. You know, Maria says to me a couple of days ago, "What text are we doing this Sunday?" And I said, "Doubting Thomas, Maria. Every year we do this." Right? Every year we do the same thing, Doubting Thomas. And so I said to her, "Yeah, it's the same text." And then so I said to myself, "Well, what's new in this text? How can I wrestle with this text to try and squeeze out some new meaning out of it?" So I have questions for it. And let me just show you the series of questions that I went through and see how I formulate kind of a sermon, if you will, and at the end, what I call the Willie sermon, which is completely different from what I'm going to be talking about. And the first question I had a couple of years ago when I looked at it, I said, why is it so hard for Thomas to believe, right? I mean, his disciples were there. They had seen Jesus. He came back a week later, and, you know, he has his experience with Jesus. But prior to that, he says, "Unless I put my finger in my, you know, all that other stuff," he doesn't believe in Jesus, and I was wondering why. And then I said to myself, you know, maybe things are a little different. Maybe perhaps, you know, because, and I try to cut him a little slack by saying that, you know, he was there for the crucifixion. He saw Jesus actually get crucified. And so maybe his idea of Jesus being reborn or resurrected was a little bit difficult for him to accept, you know, after he had seen this tragic experience, you know, about Jesus being on the cross and the disciples tell him he's resurrected now. And I figured maybe that wasn't that easy for him to do, maybe not that easy for us to do perhaps. And then I thought a little bit more about it. I had another question. I said to myself, why is it perhaps that when Thomas was doubtful, that instead of Jesus being kind with him in a sense, he was a little bit harsh? You see how Jesus was harsh with him? He kind of, you know, put him on the line and you know, told him, don't be so unfaithful, don't be so doubtful, believe. And then I said to myself, well, there's reason for that, you know, and perhaps it's because he's doubting because at that point, after he greets his disciples, you know, Jesus goes and he shows himself to all the disciples. He shows his hand and he shows his side, and they all see that he's not an apparition, that he's not a ghost, that he's not somebody else pretending to be Jesus, that he is indeed the Jesus that was crucified. And then all of these things are happening, and Thomas still wants to know. And so Jesus is not being harsh with him. Perhaps Jesus is trying to show him an understanding. And then I figured to myself, well, is Jesus really being hard? Another question. Is Jesus really being hard with him? And I said, perhaps, maybe not. Maybe Jesus is not so much being harsh with Thomas as he's addressing us. And he's asking us a question. And here's why. I mean, John the disciple, John the gospel writer, write this gospel to teach us that the people who he's writing to did not have the experience of seeing Jesus. This was much later that he wrote the gospel. And when he wrote the gospel, these people were looking for something to hold on to. They were being persecuted at that time. And John is writing the gospel to give them some encouragement. And he uses Thomas as an example that even without seeing Christ, you could still get the blessings. Indeed, the last portions of the Gospel of John show that Jesus and the disciples say about Jesus, he did many other things that are not written in this book, but these things are written so that you may believe and come to accept Jesus as your Lord. Right? So what you have at the end of the gospel is this climactic experience, and he's not condemning Thomas, but he's affirming all the people who believe that don't touch and don't see, right? But then I come to this particular question, and I said to myself, well, what is it about this touching and this feeling and to be able to see? What is it about Thomas that has to touch to see? And then I said to myself, what does that say to me? This is where I'm starting to get to my Willyism, and that is that perhaps there is, he saw Jesus, and this guy who was supposed to be so tough and so frank and so honest and so realistic perhaps, sees Jesus, doesn't do anything, falls down and says, my Lord and my God. I think the presence of Jesus alone was something that really changed him. Do you remember the story of Job? Remember Job was the one in the Old Testament who was suffering, and God and Satan made a deal, and they said, if we take everything away from him, he will curse you, he won't love you anymore, et cetera, et cetera. So he argues, and friends come over, and they tell him why he's suffering, and all the arguments are so weird because they blame him. And then at the end, he decides to challenge God, and so God shows up. In chapter 38, God shows up to Job, and he says, where were you when I created the earth? Where were you when I fed the sheep? Where were you when I created the goat? Where were you when I created the Leviathan and all that? And he just kind of shuts up because he can't answer God. And people suggest that maybe God is asking him questions that he cannot even fathom to respond to, and that humbles him. But I bet you the thing that happened with Job is that since God showed up, that was enough. God showed up, and that was enough for Job. And Job just really accepted the reality. So Jesus shows up, Thomas accepts the reality, no matter how hard he was, right? Because once you see the Christ, once you have an experience with the Christ, your petty questions fall apart. Your rationalities and your doubts flow out the window when you meet the Lord and your God. Now, this is where my other question is. How do we touch this God? How do we experience this God today when we cannot see him? And I think I would go back to the pain, to the wounds, to the nail images in his hand. And that is where I think we can find and touch the God, the Christ that we want to see and have an experience of. But where do we see it? We see it in the world. We see it in each other. We see it in people that are alienated, people that are tortured, people that are forgotten, people that are abused and neglected. These are the people that if you were to touch their hands or touch their side, you would see the Christ. You would see him right there because you are touching the very embodiment of God. It's a little weird to think about it that way, but I think Jesus does it that way because his brokenness is where we come and experience him. And the brokenness is what we all share in common as human beings. We're fragile, we're temporary, we lose people in our lives, we lose loved ones, we're experiencing all kinds of issues in our lives that always make us feel fragmented. And only when another person touches you can you see. Isn't that interesting that to touch, you see? You touch something and you see all of a sudden. See what? You see a reality. You see a truth. You see an experience, a phenomena. You see a person. You see someone in front of you. And that person that you touch reveals the Christ between you. Reveals the holy essence of what it is that Christ has never left this earth. He has never left us or abandoned us. But we have to touch the wound. We have to be hard-nosed sometimes. And I respect Thomas. Look, Thomas is like me. Sometimes I just won't want to believe anything. I need to experience it, right? I mean, we're all like that. At some point, we don't want to be blind, loyal believers that don't need any proof at all. I want some proof. Especially if I'm going to put my life on the line and give everything that I have to that particular reality, I want some proof that that's true. And so the truth is all around us. The reality is everywhere. And that means that we have to touch each other. We have to embrace each other. We have to see each other's wounds. Isn't that the biggest problem that we have in this world? Look, The truth is, today there's so much tension in the world. I don't know if you feel it. I feel it sometimes when I email or when I look at the Facebook. Everybody's upset. They're upset. They're agitated. They feel impinged upon. They feel insecure. They feel that the world is going to pot. Political situations are so uncertain that people are attacking each other. Do you know that? Do you see that? And so, what is it that we need to work with that? Do we continue to hit each other? Do we continue to attack each other? No, what we need to do is touch that wound, touch that pain, touch that body, touch that brokenness. And when you do that, the person comes alive. And in that moment, when you do that, you see the Christ, you feel the Christ, you understand the Christ. See, when I worked in the prison, again, after 38 years, man, I could really bore you guys with a lot of stories, all right? When I worked in the prison, a lot of times these guys were mad. They were angry. Well, you touch the wound. I don't challenge them in their anger. I see their humanity. I respond to who they are, where they are, as a man, as a woman, as a person. And when you do that, then the anger just falls away. It melts away like Thomas's doubts fell away when Jesus was there. How do we bring this Jesus, and how is John, the writer of the gospel, trying to communicate to people? Work with each other, support each other, love each other, lift each other up. This is where the Christ is to be found. God is here, never removed from us. He is never taken from the reality in which we're claiming. You have friends in school sometimes who just need a tender word, right? They're hurting. Maybe the mom and dad have had an argument, or maybe dad has left the home. And you're in school, and all you can do is say, you know, I feel for you, or I care for you, or something, just a word of something that you affirm, that you see their pain, and suddenly they feel better. They don't feel like the problem is gone, but they feel like they've been heard, that they've been understood, that they've been, you know, cared for in some sense. Just like we do when we go to funerals. Sometimes I feel like so stupid when I go to a funeral, because I don't know what to say. After all these years, I still don't know what to say. All I can say is, I'm sorry, and shut the heck up and stay there. Be with the person. But you know, that's touching the wound. That's putting your hand in the side. And that's what Jesus is asking us to do in order to find him. You find him in the wound. You find him in the pain. You find him in the brokenness. My God, look around you. It's everywhere. It's in families. It's in schools. It's in work. It's in all the social levels that we are participating in. Reach out and touch the wound. Touch the side and do it with love, and you'll meet the Christ who is your Lord. So that's what I think I come up to with this year with Doubting Thomas. Now, Doubting Thomas is not a Doubting Thomas. Thomas is a Believing Thomas, because he really fought to believe. He really fought to try and find proof for his faith. And when he saw it, he threw it out the window, which means that he would have taken any kind of example to believe. Sometimes the people who are the hardest and the sternest realists only need a teeny little proof, right? And they melt. They melt because they see, they want so much to have that relationship. So today, my beloved brothers and sisters, the world is broken and we need you. We need you to touch the wounds. We need you to see the person. We need you to embrace the side of that person that has been wounded and just to be there with them. And you get blessed by it because Christ is in between. Christ is relational, and he comes to reality when we step out of our vulnerability and in that way invite somebody else or respond to somebody's vulnerability. This is where Christ is found. And I hope we do that with each other. We do it with the rest of the world who sorely needs it. So next time you get a nasty email, okay, be kind. That's all it takes. And you recognize there's something much more than just that point. Amen.